Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm a dad mom. That means while my wife works, I'm at home being awesome. I know there's a lot of moms that are out there that look at my unique mixture of masculinity and nurturing, and they find it quite alluring. And I know that there's dads who are out there who are astonished with my ability to dress a four-year-old. But here's a real kicker. I can take even the frilliest girl dress and fold it with complete accuracy. Boom. And with Tide Boost, I can use the brute strength of dad to mix with the nurturing abilities of my laundry detergent. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to go do pull-ups and crunches in the other room. Tide Boost is my...
Yo, I'm excited about this one, y'all. Because I brought some special guests.
Special guests!
The incomparable Jay Moss. And my son, Mo Byron. Let's go!
Y'all ready?
Product of Damon Networking. This is the ONE Trenton Mix Show. I'm your host, Ricardo Rashad, on air now from Lagos, Nigeria, dialing 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation, brought to you by Looking Glass Entertainment. Oh my God, you guys, I am so excited to be here. You know, this is actually my fourth show, so I'm really, really grateful. And I feel like I have a special treat for you guys. I wanted to introduce you guys to the incomparable, beautiful, talented actress, former model. Actually, she's also my best friend. Her name is Corinda Clemens. So welcome.
Thank you.
I am so excited to have you here. You know, so on my show, normally when I have guests, a couple of guests that I've been having, Corinda, there are people that I know, you know, so people that I've met probably, you know, just auditioning or being a different, you know, type of situations that I've been in and I've been able to interview them. So it's just a blessing to have you here. And what I do is on the beginning of my show, I try to give everybody their flowers. That's just something that I like to do. So I want to give you your flowers and just, you know, just tell you, you know, that I'm really grateful, you know, to know you. And I'm excited about just who you are. You know, you're a beautiful woman, but also you're more beautiful on the inside. A lot of people don't know that you were one of the people that I met when I were younger, about maybe 12 years old, I think I met you. We was in a Junior One choir. And we kind of started a new friendship when we was in college. And I met you in drama class. And she was one of the few people that kind of inspired me to write. And I didn't know that I had the gift to write. And I remember we had to do a scene or something for our class. And I remember writing the scene or whatever and coming to class, a lot of people liking it, and I thought, oh, it's nothing. And you were one of the few people, you know, I feel like you're a part of my journey. You were one of the few people that was just like, you know, Richard, write. And a lot of people don't know that we were actually, supposed to do this play called Misery Loves Company that you were in. And a lot of people also don't know that you were actually supposed to be an original character of the Hurt People series. But due to some situations, you know, you weren't being able to, you know, to make it. So I just wanted to say thank you.
You're very welcome. First, I would like to say, you know, it's an honor and a blessing to be on your show. And thank you for allowing me the opportunity to be here tonight. And I'm excited. I'm excited, and I'm just ready to share with people my story and what, you know, what I've been through and how I overcame.
Okay, so many people don't know whatever you were. You know, you was just to me. You know, you were on the rise. You did a couple of local music videos and actress. Did a little bit of singing, but I ain't gonna ask you to sing. Then something kind of traumatic happened. So basically, I could just, you know, speak on a little bit of what I know, and then you could just pick me up from there. Just about how lupus changed your life. And we could, you know, I'm just gonna ask you some questions about, you know, how it affects your life. Where are you now post lupus, or you know, whatever. So from what I remember from you was that, you know, you were, you know, an aspiring actress, also aspiring video model. I remember you working at Ryder as a security guard, and you have two beautiful children. Shout out to Bray. He actually was in season one of Hurt People. He played my son, and he made me work to be, you know, for him to be a nice thing. He was bossing me around. Oh, I need you to get me pizza. I need you to do this, do that. But it was an amazing experience working with your son, so thank you for that. And then from what I remember was, you know, one day you just couldn't get out of bed, you know, and then that's when I believe you was in the hospital for about a week. So can you tell me about what happened?
Yes, certainly. I just want to take it back a little bit. It all started when I was working at Ryder during security. Normally on our shift, we get our assigned duties or whatever. And this particular day on my shift, I had to check to make sure all the doors were locked in the building. So as I was touring the campus, my knees started giving out on me. And I'm just like, you know, because I worked overnight shifts. So I'm guessing, I was thinking like, okay, maybe I'm not getting enough of vitamins, or maybe I need some more rest. And I just felt like pain in my knees. And then also, I was feeling drowsy, like I was always tired. I couldn't stay up at work. And so I actually wound up getting fired from Ryder because I was falling asleep at work. And I'm not knowing why. And I'm like, I'm resting during the day, you know, so even if I rest, I'm still tired when it's time for my shift. So service representative at AAA. And long story short, I come into work and I take the stairs. And as I'm walking up the stairs, my knee started to like pain, a lot of pain in my knee. And it felt like somebody had a wrench just twisting my bones, my knee. And so I'm wondering, like, what is going on with my body? And so even I would have to get up from my desk and walk over to the copier and printer machine, and my legs were just still hurting. So after that, it was the weekend, and I had my friend's bridal party to go to. I went to that, and I wasn't feeling too well, but I still wanted to make it because this is one of my best friends. And so I wind up leaving early, and as I left early from her bridal party because I really was feeling so awful, I drove home. I don't know how I made it home because even just the turn of the steering wheel, it hurt my hand to turn the steering wheel of my truck at the time. And I finally made it home. Once I made it home, I walked across the street, and I was walking so slow, like I thought I was going to get hit by a car because I was walking so slow, like I was in so much pain. And I wound up making it into my apartment, and my sister was there with my children. They were asleep. And I was explaining to her, you know, I do not feel well. My legs are aching so bad. And I just wound up laying on the couch because I couldn't make it to my bed. And I woke up the next morning. I was just feeling pain. I was hot. I had jaundice in my eyes. And I didn't know what to do. So I called my pastor, and my pastor prayed for me. I'm still not, you know, no sign of relief whatsoever. So I called my godmom. She's staying in Lakewood, New Jersey. So she was far away from me. And so I called my mom, and my mom came. She picked me up. She took me to the hospital. When she took me to the hospital, they ran all these tests on me. And I'm like, well, what's going on? You know, what's going on? And they like, wait, just wait till these tests come back. Wait till these tests come back. So, like, a couple of days, they still run the tests. They still run the tests. And they come back probably about 3 days later, and they said, oh, we think you have lupus, but you have to check with the rheumatologist to confirm that. And so they gave me, while I was in the hospital, I was in the hospital for a week for them to stabilize me. They gave me, this was my first dose of prednisone. Mm-hmm. They gave it to me through the IV, and I felt like I could pick up a whole house. That's how good I felt from and how strong I felt from that IV. I just didn't know what to do. I felt like my regular self. No pain, you know, so much energy. I was just going around picking up everybody. And I was just so excited. Like, I'm like, lupus, is this lupus? Then that's nothing. All I got to do is just take my steroids and I'll be good. Yeah. But not knowing the pill steroids doesn't have the same effect as the IV does. The IV goes straight through your bloodstream. And, you know, the pill form, it takes a while for it to process through your body. So it's not as strong as the IV. And I didn't know that until, you know, when I seen my rheumatologist and got prescribed the prednisone. Then that's when I realized, okay, it's not as strong as in if you were taking it through the IV, but that's the only way you can get it unless you're in the hospital.
So I got a question, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, again, I remember, like I said, you were an inspiring actress and model and everything like that, right? So what did that feel like knowing that you were just on this road? And I remember how inspiring you were, you know, how inspired you was and how ambitious you was. And I remember you telling me, like, listen, I'm already been caught Wall Memorial, you know, and you just had these dreams of, you know, just doing this major productions, and then everything that you know it, you know, you're kind of climbing the social ladder, and then everything you know it is changed. Like, tell me, like, what you was going through, you know, in that process. Like, how did you feel to know that it was a possibility that everything that you hoped for and dreamed for now was possibly at a halt?
Yes, that's what I was actually getting to. See, what I, like you said, I had so many dreams and so many desires that I was just shooting for, you know, and knocking them down. And like you said, not only, you know, was I an aspiring actress and former model, you know, I'm a mother as well of two children. So my motherhood comes first, and I pride myself in, you know, in being a mother and with my daughter and my son. And I guess the best thing that could ever happen to me. So, like I said, not knowing what lupus was, you know, I heard of it before, but I never really knew what the complications were, you know, and the life expectancy of having lupus. So I started to do my research on it. And as I began to get knowledgeable about the disease, it had me questioning, you know, how am I going to do with my children? How can I still be an actress or, you know, aspiring actress? How can I still do the things that I want to do so bad?
Right.
And that, like, a lot of that came across my mind, and like the excruciating pain that I was going through, I was considering, how can I, you know, manage the pain, like, you know, and still do what I want to do.
Absolutely. So I wanted to say something to you, you know, being that you are my best friend, like, and I know the challenges and the things that you were going through, you know, I love that when this year happened, you told me, Richard, I'm going to walk. And I think a lot of people don't know, you know, they're getting to know you now. They don't know the struggle. They don't know the things that you had to give up to get to where you are now. So for you to be up, you know, you was bedridden, you know, for a couple of years. And talk to me about the decision that you had to make to decide that, hey, you know, I'm going to have to, you know, possibly allow my children to go with their father. Talk to me about, like, what you were going through in that moment. So at this point in your life, now you're just at that point, you're sick. Now you got to quit your job. Now you have to, you know, rely on other resources. Your dreams is on pause, and then now you have to possibly give your kids up temporary. Talk to me about how you felt during that moment.
Okay. Yes, certainly. That was very devastating for me, and that was a hard choice. That's one of the hardest choices I ever had to make in my life, because, like I said, my children are my life, and that's all I know is how to be a mother. You know, motherhood mm-hmm. comes first for me. So, you know, as my body was deteriorating and I'm declining and I'm running in and out of the hospital and I'm running in and out of rehabilitation centers, I had to make the executive decision and say, okay, you know, their fathers are in their life. They do take care of their children. They love their children. They mm-hmm. will be better off with their fathers at this time because I'm declining.
Right.
And I don't know where my life was headed, because if you don't remember, there was a time when I was on life support, you know. Like I said, my health was declining, so that was the best decision in that moment.
Wow.
And they took that on, that decision, with no problem.
Can I say this too also, right? Sometimes in life, right, sometimes people go through things. Of course, like I said, you wasn't expecting this, but what I love about your strength, you know, as a woman, you know, the fact that you did say, you know what, I need help, right? Because sometimes
yes.
we get in these situations in life and sometimes pride stepping away. And me knowing you, I know how important your children are to you. So I know how difficult that was, that decision to give, you know, to give your children up for, you know, just for a temporary moment. So I think I just want you to talk to any woman out there that has to decide, you know, hey, I got to give up, not necessarily give my children up for good, but I got to allow myself to get, you know, healthy, whether that's mentally, spiritually,
yeah.
Physically, so that way I could be a better service to myself first and
right.
also to my children as well. Because if we're no good, you know, and we can't show up in the world for ourselves, we're going to be no good for our children. So I think that it's okay sometimes to take a step back and say, you know what, right now I'm fighting for my life. I have great fathers that's willing to step in and help. And so, because sometimes you have some mothers, even if it is a better situation, they might feel guilt, they might feel pride, whatever they may feel, be mad at the baby dad or whatever, and they're like, you know what, even if the child may have a better opportunity, I'm going to keep them here because of X, Y, and Z. So can you talk to me just about, to any mother out there that's just, you know, maybe in your situation?
Yes, any mother that may be going through sickness or anything, and to the point where you're unable to take care of your child or your children, if the father is in, you know, their life and they're loving to your child, you know, most definitely consider that, but definitely go pray with God about it first before you make your decision, and make sure your decision sits right with you.
Right.
Like I said, that was one of the hardest decisions for me, but I know it was in the best interest for my children. So I had to swallow my pride and put my pride aside and let the Father take lead.
Absolutely. I love that. All right, Corinda, I want you to stay put, all right? So up next is the track, all right? So everybody stay tuned, please.
Shut up and just do what I promise.
Yeah, I know what's obvious. You show me where your dollars at. I show you where your heart is when they putting on pajamas. Baby, I'm just getting started. This is light work. Going till my eyes hurt. Pulling all-nighters just to get the fire. I ain't even sleep. Trying to make the dream come true. It was
ass tough.
Yeah.
All right, we are back. I actually like that song. It kind of took me back to when the guy is the song Tupac and Dr. Dre. I don't know the guy of the song, but, you know, kind of that T-Pain vibe. So I loved it. So back, Corinda, I'm excited again. So tell me, tell me what faith looks like in your life.
Faith?
Faith, yes. Like, what does faith look like in your life? What does faith mean to you?
Faith, first of all, means to me trusting that God will, he will make a way when you see that there's no way. Even when the road gets tough, you still know that there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
Right. Absolutely.
And what it looks like to me is just basically, you know, just believing in God. That's basically it in a nutshell. Just trusting that God's going to have your back and he's going to do what his word says.
Right. So being that it's been, how many years has it been since you've been diagnosed and you've been home, and how many years has it been since you've had lupus?
I've been diagnosed since 2014.
No. So it's been 7 years.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, so what was that like for you where you finally was like, you know what, I'm not going to lay in this bed no more. You know, it's really time to get up and it's really time to, like, talk to me about that. Like, what was it in you that you was like, you know what, I'm tired of just laying here. I really need to get to the greater side of who I am.
4 years of me, you know, having lupus, I was actually on the move. I was moving around still being Corinda. It's actually the last 3 years that's been the hardest for me, because that's when I experienced being on life support. So after me being on life support, pretty much stopped my life, like stopped everything, stopped. You know, my body declined even more. You know, I had to learn to re-talk, learn how to talk again. I had to learn how to feed myself. I had to learn how to walk again because
wow.
I was bedridden. Yeah, I was bedridden. So there's a lot of things I had to relearn, and with rehabilitation, you know, that helped me out a lot. And then once I started learning how to walk and stuff again, when I wound up in the hospital and one of the nurses had propped my pillow up and that cracked something in my back.
Wow.
And they did it. CAT scan and everything, and they couldn't find anything. And I said, it was nothing but the devil working on me. But I that's when how I became bedridden. And for the last couple of years, until one day my sister and my mom would always leave me to go to the store, and I wanted to go. And so when they came back from the store one day, I said, I'm going to try to sit up. I didn't care how much. Because when the lady messed my back up, if I would try to sit up, it would be a pain shooting from the bottom of my back to the top of my neck. And it would feel like lightning bolts shooting through my body.
Wow.
So I would never be able to sit up. And if I needed to go somewhere to a doctor's appointment, I would have to get transferred by ambulance.
Wow. So that.
One day, I just got sick of it, you know. And I said, I'm just going to fight this pain. But while my mom and sister was at the store, I prayed and prayed to God. I called out to him, cried out to him, asked him to please remove the pain. I'm going to try to walk, and I'm going to try to try harder than I ever tried before. Just trust in me. If you give me this, just trust in me that I will do this. And so when my sister and my mom came up, I held their hand because I was bedridden for so long. I needed support in order to sit up. So each of them held one of my hands, and I slowly, gradually inched my way up. And I inched my way up, and I did not have no pain. That was the first time I didn't have any pain, and I actually recorded that day, too.
Wow, I got to look at that.
And that's when I just said, you know, enough is enough. And from that point on, I just been moving forward.
Wow.
And not looking back.
That is amazing. On air now from Lake Lagos, Nigeria, dialing 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation, brought to you by Looking Glass Entertainment. Caller 1, we got a caller, Corinda. Caller 1, who are you and where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Jerry Petito, sweetie. How are you?
Hi, Jerry.
You know, I'm listening to your guests. First of all, I want to say hello. I don't think we ever met. I don't think I met her, correct, when you guys were on my show live?
No, you never met Corinda before.
Okay. So, Corinda, sweetheart, I'm listening to you, and you are such an inspiration, to say the least. Your children, how are they?
They're good. They're 15 and 10.
Okay. And you're not bedridden anymore?
No, not anymore.
Thank
I'm
you,
able to
God.
Drive again. I'm driving again, everything.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm listening to your story, and all that's going through my mind is, I don't think I could be as strong as you. And I think I'm a strong person.
Yes.
And God bless you, man. And you need to write a book.
Yes, that's what I'm working on. I'm working on it.
Yes, because people need to hear your story, because especially through this year, there's been so much depression and so much anxiety and so much stress, right?
Yeah.
Listening to your story, it doesn't even compare.
Wow.
So you are an incredible, incredible, incredible inspiration. Wow.
Thank you.
So thank you for this tonight.
You're very welcome. It was a blessing.
Thank
you,
Jerry.
Goodness. Ricardo, I love you, man. What a beautiful
show. I love you,
show.
Too. Thank you so much. Wow. Thank you so much. Wow. Corinda, I'm so grateful, like I said, for you and you being able to share. Like, people don't understand, like, what that really looked like. When you have something in your heart that you've always craved to do, you know, like I said, you were one of those people for me that was pushing me to do what I'm doing now.
Yes.
And every time that I was going to do something, you were always one of those people that was just like pushing me into greatness, because you always had greatness on the inside of you. And for your dreams and all your hopes and inspirations to be stopped due to lupus, you know, I remember when it happened. Sometimes in life, I'm not going to lie to you, sometimes in life we feel like things aren't fair, because you're one of those people, literally beautiful, like so beautiful on the outside, and you are so genuine and so loving. And I'm just like, dang, like, talk to me about, have you ever felt like, God, why me?
Yes.
And then tell me how you feel now about it.
Yes, I've been there many times, especially in the beginning, in the middle. And still sometimes I still, but it was a lesson for me through it all. Even when it looked like the worst, the worst situation, like as far as in me deciding, because I did decide to give my children to their fathers for them to live with their fathers. But while they were staying with them, their fathers actually had took me to court while I was in rehab. In rehab, and one of them I was in the hospital, so I couldn't make it to both court appearances because they wanted them to stay with them on paper. They wanted it on paper. So basically, that was like my toughest time, because, like I said, my children are my life, they're my heart. So enduring that, and you know, in other situations that may come, while I'm still fighting this sickness, this illness, trying to get back to myself, that was just basically trusting in God, just trusting, yes, God, I know that you see all this ruckus that's going on in my life while I'm fighting for my life at the same time. Like, how much more can I bear, God? But I had to trust him. And once I fully gave him my whole entirety, trusted him entirety, then that's when I let go and let him take the lead. Because it wasn't about me anymore. It was about the lesson that I had to learn. And I had to learn to be humble while I was going through.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. You are so, so right. Oh, my God. Corinda, stay where you are, all right? So up next, we have a track, and I can't wait to hear it, all right? Everybody stay tuned.
Yes, sir. So wonderful.
right, we are back, and that song was dedicated to you, Corinda. Oh, my goodness.
Thank you.
It was really, really cool. All right, so talk to me about who were you when you were deciding to be an actress. I personally feel like I know, but who were some of your inspirations growing up?
Let's see. Some of my inspirations, well, not even acting, but I'll start off with singing, because singing is my first love. And then acting comes second. So who I grew up on, Beyonce, of course.
Yes, Queen B. I know you love Beyonce.
Queen B. And then I just like reciting lines and putting my emotion behind it, because I was always a soulful person, and I love Mary J. Blige as well, and she always wrote songs, with meaning behind it. Mm-hmm. So I was always, I always wanted to, just act, express myself through acting. So that's why I always wanted to be an actor.
Yes, I love it. I got a question. I know I'm probably jumping gears, but, earlier we were talking about motherhood and how important it is. And yeah. I also want to say, as a mother, mothers make a lot of sacrifices, for their children. And me and you were talking about this, I believe, that sometimes in life we don't always understand when we're children, right? So when people are making sacrifices, we call adults. We don't understand the sacrifices parents are making, because we're only looking at things from our perspective. But then how life works, things come full surface, and we become an adult, and now you kind of see the sacrifices your parents make for you. You kind of see the other side to things. So my question is, if any of your children was listening, or if you could be that woman that wanted to have a conversation with their child and just tell them, how they feel, like, what would that look like for you? Like, what would you say to your child, or a woman that wants to say something to their child and doesn't have the words to say, I know you don't understand, but I'm doing the best that I can, and I do love you, and, what would you say to your child, or what would you say to that woman to give her words to her child about, that she loves her child and that she's doing the best that she can?
Yes, well, first, I would encourage that woman to go to seek God first, because God has all the answers. Sometimes we think we may know best, but God always knows best.
Right.
So I would encourage that woman to seek God to give her the words to say to my child, to her child, so she can understand how she feel and where she's coming from. But with that same token, while talking to your child, I will allow your child to express their feelings to you as well. So you can try to explain to them and make it plain for them to understand. Just like God makes it plain for us to understand, and he send us signs, you can give them different scenarios, your child different scenarios, so they could understand, or ask them a question and say, well, how would you handle it? Or how would you like for me to handle it? And probably compromise, so that way they can get a better understanding, but reassure them, that you love them and that you care, and all the decisions that you make and all that you do is for them and their
best. Absolutely. Why do you think in the Black community, or just minority, why do you think it's hard for mothers or fathers to really have those conversations with their kids? Like, hey, listen, this is what's going on. Not necessarily telling your kids what's going on, everything, because they're still children, but meeting them where they are and just talking to them. Like, why is that so hard in the Black community to talk? Or why is it so hard, you think, for us to not try to seek counseling when we get older, like to get, our mental health? Why do you think that?
I wouldn't just say narrow it down to a Black community. I would say in any community.
Okay.
A lot of adults are broken children. And I'm going to say that again. A lot of adults are broken children.
Right.
A lot of things happened to the adults that in their past when they were a child. Maybe they didn't learn how to communicate, or maybe they did and something happened to them, something traumatic happened to them, and they shut down. And maybe they don't know how to, you know, like I say, express themselves. And maybe their parents didn't communicate with them, so they believe that this is a way of parenthood, not
right.
communicating with your child, or only telling your child certain things and sugarcoating it, or not telling your child nothing at all because I'm the adult. That's what a lot of mothers say or parents say. I'm the adult. You're the child. And
right.
not giving explanation. But in this day and age, an explanation is needed so your child can have understanding of why you do things the way you do.
Absolutely. I think it's just so important, you know, as both of us, you know, we kind of grew up in an urban community, you know,
yeah.
and I'm also telling my father that, you know, when you grow up in the hood and stuff like that, you have limited resources, and a lot of time is the stigma that's associated with living in the hood, you know, and
yeah.
I'm blessed that me and you, we come from the same city, and that we was able to, you know, by the grace of God, not just our own doing, but by the grace of God, we was able not to just survive, but we were able to thrive. You
yeah.
get what I mean? Because a lot of times, I certain people, like I look at somebody, like I'll give you an example. My mother, who's a beautiful person, everybody call her Sylvia J. Blige. My mom, some people say she favored Mary J. Blige, but I think more so she has Mary J. Blige spirit. They got the same,
yeah.
all of that. My mom is just a superstar, but because of her life and because of whatever she went through in her life, and I know she had children at a young age, she wasn't able to basically thrive as much as she is, you know. And I just think for me, you know, being able to be her son and me being able to look at her life as a living testimony and you be able to navigate through some of those things, those same type of traumas. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think it's just very, very important, you know, to give back, to have those, like I said, have those conversations, break down those generational curses and break the pattern. It doesn't matter if, you know, this is how the family did it this way. You know, it's about once you get information and you evolve as a person, it's about, you know, elevating the generation or the or a group of communities, you know, all together. You know, so that's how I feel about that. But caller two, who are you and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Antonia Batts, and my show is Informational Guru, which comes on either the third or the fourth, you know, night of the month, about 9:30-ish. And I just wanted to say that to your guests, you know, I really admire you for trying to do what has been advised to other people, which is be humble, because when you have third parties who are against you, you know, you being humble is one of the hardest things to do, especially if you're undergoing an ailment. But also I wanted to say that I've heard this particular saying, which is children do not come with a book on how to raise them or, in your case, such as communicate. So, you know, you don't have to think that you're doing anything wrong because nothing's guaranteed. And when you have all of these forces out there that are tearing at your children to go off track from whatever you try to do what's right, that's a job within itself. So I wish you the best, because I know it is not easy to have to circumvent being around people who try to go against what you try to teach your child, what is good, what is right. But that's why sometimes we have other people who do sometimes effectively get through to your child. And I've had even somebody to ask me my opinion and to talk to their child for a few minutes, because I had to as well ask somebody a few words, hoping that, you know, the child could always remember that this whole world is not built around them and they have to get themselves back on track. So when they say that, you know, it takes a village, I hate to feed into a cliche, but it really can sometimes work. And then when it doesn't work, you just have to keep on maintaining. Just do what you're supposed to do and trying to set an example and teach, you know, your version of morals. So, you know, pretty much that's what I wanted to say.
Thank you so much. I absolutely agree with you.
Thank you. Wow, that was beautiful. That was so beautiful. Wow, wow. What do you feel like your life looks like now towards the future, you know, going through the trauma, you know, going through the lupus, like you said, going through court battles when you don't even know if you're going to live to see another day. And then like I was saying before about your career being on hold, jobs being on hold, we didn't even dig into money being on hold. You get what I'm saying? Like all of that stuff happening. And now you're able, you know, you're like still dealing with it, but at the same time, like you said, you was barren for years. Now you're walking. Now you're, you know, it was just so good to just see you moving when I was seeing you struggling, you know, walking. And that's why I said it's powerful, because you're going to give a lot of people hope and inspiration, because at the end of the day, you know, everybody in someone has a disability, even if it isn't physical. Sometimes it could be mental.
Yeah.
You know, and every day it can be a battle, you know, but if like you was just talking about, you know, choosing God and your faith, you know, and I'm a man of faith too, you know, it's about putting yourself in a situation to believe in something that's higher than yourself, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
Because it's going to be hard days. It's going to be dark days. Wouldn't you agree that sometimes you don't know if you're coming or you're going? You get
yeah.
what I mean?
Yes, most definitely.
So it's important to, you know, make sure you, you know, you keep your faith. How was it for you growing up? Like, you know, I know personally that you grew up in a project at one point. Like, how was that growing up? How did it stunt your creativity as far as wanting to be an actress and a model, or did it make you feel like, okay, now I could do it? Like, how was that?
Growing up in a project, that was one of the best parts of my life, to be honest. I didn't know. I knew I stayed in the projects, but hey, to me, it was no different than no one else's home. You know, I had all my necessities. You know, I had everything. I was always fed. I didn't have a complaint in the world. I know we only had little money, but my mom still made it work.
Right.
You know, and I still enjoy going on trips, traveling. You know, we were in the choir, going out of state and stuff. So I lived my life in, you know, growing up in the projects. I think that was one of the best times of my life. And it made me stronger. You know, it made me appreciate the, you know, what I have now, because I had so little back then. And now I'm just grateful that I have more and able to provide more for my children than what my mother was able to provide for me with two children at that time.
Absolutely. Wow, that was so beautifully said. All right, you guys, so up next is a track. I hope everybody stays tuned, stay put, and we'll be right back after the music. All right?
We got a
We ride, we sing. No, I'm not going. I can't sing, so I'm about to mess my stuff up. All right, you guys. So as our show comes to a close, I wanted to know, you know, like I said, post lupus, where is your life headed and where are you going? Are you going to do more acting? You think you're going to get your career back? How does the future look like for you and your children and your relationship with God and everything? Like, how does the future look for Corinda Clemens?
Yes. Well, first and foremost, you know, since being diagnosed with the lupus, my relationship with God has gotten nothing but stronger. And it's going to keep elevating because I'm going to keep in his word and keep building that relationship with him. And, yes, in the future, I do plan on getting my children back to live with me. But first, like I said, I want to make sure that I'm mentally, you know, mentally I'm there, but physically I want to get back to, you know, my full self, you know, so that way I can be able to do the things that I used to do, like take my son to sports and my daughter, you know, back and forth to practice and things in that nature. And as far as acting, yes, I would love to get back into acting, but again, I got to get my health in order and make sure I'm on a steady road with that, you know, and not going backwards before I, you know, go ahead and dip into that.
Wow, so beautiful. So, so beautiful. Thank you, Corinda. All right, you guys, it's been Goldie time, everyone. Here is your mother and father's favorite producer, Brother O.
Well, first of all, Corinda, I want to thank you tonight for what you said and your testimony. I can hear your sweet spirit, you know, when it comes down to just your heart and soul and the type of human being you are. And trying to be a, you know, a person that's trying to uplift people and a great mom to boot, because, you know, you're fighting for your children, you know, being there, being the great nurturer, because kids need their mama. They need dad too now, because, you know, I'm a great dad, but that's not the point. They still need moms. Without, mom is the most important person in the community.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's how you know, that's how a man knows how to treat a woman. If he treats his mom right, 9 times out of 10 he treats a girl right. You know what I'm saying? Always make sure you see a guy, you know, talking crap to his mama, then do me a favor. Don't even go near him because he could probably smack you. You know what I mean? Because he has no respect. So look at it's the truth nonetheless. But Corinda, I really appreciate you and your story of triumph tonight. You know, going through that, a friend of mine, very close to me, is going through a lupus situation. And I see, you know, the weight gain and the weight loss, the weight gain, the weight loss, you know, the prednisone and all that. It's a lot. And just having, you know, a spirit when you're in pain and your joints hurt, you know what I mean? And sometimes you feel like you're alone, but you're never alone with God. And you know that.
Yeah.
And you're sharing that. And I love you for it. Love you. Nothing you can do about it.
Thank you. Love you back.
Tomorrow night on these stations, we have a very special event that I haven't got a chance to talk about, but this is Randy Rogers Memorial Week. We had already lost a very, very pivotal and seminal host in our history of our network. His name was Randy King Cadence Rogers. He passed on Saturday. He was, you know, one third of the Cadence Star Poetry Hour featuring Desire. And they were very, very triumphant in this network's history. And it's a big loss to all of us. A very, very talented man, humble man. He always tried to help people, similar to what Ricardo and Corinda does on the conversation with, you know, in life. But an outstanding poet, one of the greatest internet spoken word artists in history. And his life was cut short at age 48. And we definitely all week, this is going to be Memorial Week for him. And tomorrow night we come back on with a special Dame in Classics. Please, Corinda, please, Ricardo, come back on tomorrow night and listen. It is the Jerry Pitino Show that was aired on Christmas Eve, 2018. And we had a whole lot of folks that did some wonderful, wonderful pieces on that night. And it was, you know, of course, the spotlight was on King Cadence at that time, his fiancée, Gina Storm. So please come on tomorrow night, 9:30 Eastern Daylight on these only faces. All the people around the world are sounding, hearing the sound of my voice. Let us celebrate tomorrow night the life of Randy King's Cadence Rogers right here on these O&E stations. And, of course, Damon Edwards has advertising to O&E, which is Olabella Ingalls, the enterprise we support at www.LookingGlassEntertainmentOfWordPress.com, as well as in Ghosty Prime, someone at Damon.com, wearing Ghosty Time, both for Twitter and Instagram. Olabella Ingalls, the appearance of Google+. Olabella Malou Ingalls, the Facebook, as well as our business page, Trenton Makes, as well as the Historic, Determined, and Motivated Online Now Network, established 2016. And any comments, suggestions, or wonderful program tonight, olaydaylaydaylaydaylaygoes.com, and I am your mother and father's favorite producer, Olaydaylay Malaywengoes. He's saying goodnight and good luck to all the folks out there on Force Radio that support us on a constant basis. Mr. Rashad, you got 10 minutes left to go in the program.
All right, you guys. So before I, you know, tell you guys everything, my social media and everything, account, you know, my accounts and stuff, I always talk about my series, but I forgot this, you know, earlier. But I just want to say one thing, you know, if anything, you know, life is very, very fickle. We never know when is our time to go. So I'm just promoting nothing but forgiveness. If there's anything on your heart, you know, is anything you felt like somebody's done to you, you know, I just encourage everyone to just get to a place, you know, or in the process of just forgiving, you know. Like I said, we never know what's going to happen to us. You know, like Corinda's story, you could be healthy one day and have the hopes of Hollywood, and then anything could just happen to you in a blink of an eye. So I know she wouldn't have been able to get to where she was going if she had bitterness and unforgiveness in her heart. So this is stuff that we talk about. So please, please, please work towards forgiveness. I have a series called Hurt People, Bitter and Broken on YouTube. Please check it out. We have season one and season two up. You can check me out on Facebook, Ricardo Rashad, Instagram, Ricardo Rashad, Facebook, Hurt People, Bitter and Broken, the series, and on Instagram, Hurt People Series. Corinda, is there anything else that you would like to say before we close?
No, you done said everything.
All right, yes, everybody, love on purpose. Remember, I'm just a, you know, a regular little kid that grew up in Trenton, New Jersey, you know, and I just want to be used as a vessel to God. So I hope everybody have a great day, a great evening, and live on purpose, all right? All right, you guys.